16, if you would. Luke 16. Caden, please come here. Luke chapter 16. Go ahead and pass one. Luke 16, as we continue our study of the true story of the rich man and Lazarus. It is a true story. It is not a fake story or an illustration. It's not a fictitious story. It's real. And for those that would like to say that this is just a story, a fictitious story, they would be absolutely wrong. And the Bible is very, very vivid in its wording. A certain rich man, Lazarus, there in that chapter 16, was a certain steward and a certain other rich man in that passage. And we're seeing certainty. We're not seeing the Lord using allegory or anything for us to understand. He's using the truth. Verse number 19 of chapter 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Had the garment of a royalty, the garment of a king. He shown himself to be lavish in his lifestyle, much like most of our politicians who earn $125,000 a year, but yet they're worth $340 million. I haven't figured that one out. Y'all do the math on that for me? Somebody's taking money they shouldn't, and whether you like it or not, it's probably a Democrat that's doing it. Now, there's some Republicans out there doing it too, so I'm just going to make you mad all day long, and y'all just love me. You can just say, oh, Pastor's wrong on that, when you know in your own self that I'm right. That's the crazy part. Evil is good today, and good is evil. Wisdom is foolish, and foolishness is wisdom. That's the way it's been turned around, and you may not like that, but that's just tough. You have to understand that that is the truth, whether you like it or not. Verse number 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. I guess, you know, Sister Dawn, we could probably put our name down there, a certain beggar named Dawn or beggar named David. You might be able to feel a little bit of more compassion for him, because many of us are in positions sometimes where we feel like we just don't know when the next dollar's coming in or how the bill's going to get paid. But it is amazing to me how God always gets her done. I don't know that I've ever been left out, and thank God for that. Now, this story is a true story, as I made mention many, many times, and I want to get it, if you're watching and even here, for you to understand that this is the truth of the Word of God. There is a certain rich man. There is a man named Lazarus. There's no way this is a fictitious story. And anybody that believes that is just trying to get rid of hell. There is a real place called hell, and we're going to get into that as we look at the doctrine of the rich man and Lazarus, verse 21. And desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now last week we saw the fact that the Lord Jesus knows everything. If we're to rightly divide, we need to see the doctrines all throughout the Scriptures. Now, where we have to be cautious is we don't see something that's not there. You can read between the lines and be absolutely wrong. And to tell you the truth, you want to be cautious in ever reading the Bible between the lines. You need to read the Bible with other verses and other passages and other books of the Bible in order to understand the passage that you're in. So to rightly divide, you need to know the Lord Jesus knows everything. You need to understand that He is ever present, and that sinners die and death is real. That's what we looked at last week. There's no question in my mind that death is real. Yesterday, Jamie and I spoke to a veteran. They were out handing out the poppy seed or the little yeah. What's that, ma'am? Yeah, the poppy flower, and that was a real blessing. My heart goes out to them. Being a child of a veteran of foreign wars, and Jamie and I both being children of that, it means a lot to me, and speaking to him, and we thanked him for his service and some other things. And knowing that Daddy's gone in heaven, the fact to understand is death is real, and you cannot get away from that fact. Amen. Death is real. There is, by the way, life after death. You'll either live in an eternal hell, or you live in an eternal heaven.
Amen.
What a blessing to know. Now, as we get to the doctrines, I want to read on to the rest of the passage that in verse number 23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." And Abraham, by the way, isn't it interesting if people want to discount this and call this just as an illustration or a fictitious story, that even Abraham's here. Y'all notice that? There's some other things we're going to notice in a minute. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." There's a real place of torment there. You see that? Yeah. "And he said," or Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." It is amazing to me how many people are not persuaded, although the Lord Jesus arose from the dead. An amazing, amazing thought. I mean, even when he did and the graves burst open and people were going into town and the high priest and all them, they had been working really hard to re-sew the veil between the mercy seat and the high priest there, because it had ripped from top to bottom and they were in there trying to do that. Then they hear, "Oh, we got dead people out here," and, "Oh, no, we can't talk about that. No, no." And they paid certain witnesses and the centurion, the guards that were there, and they paid them according to the book of Matthew. And, "No, you got to keep that kind of stuff shut. Keep your mouth shut. Jesus didn't arise again. No, 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 that didn't really happen," blah, blah. And they're like that little kid that squints their eyes really tight and, "Yeah, you can't see me." And they reject the only salvation that's there for any person. This morning, as we see the doctrines of this, God's wrath is real. Condemnation from God on sin and the sinner is real. It's very true that you will either receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you will believe on Him and Him alone, or you won't, and you will die and go to this place of torment. Amen. In Mark chapter 9, the Bible says that the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. That idea of worm goes back to the book of Job, which is basically you and I, soul and spirit. But understand that this rich man, and in hell he lift up his eyes. He's in torment. He says that the flames are hot. I need a drink of water. I need some water on my tongue. And Abraham says, "Nope, it ain't happening. You had your chance. But you decided to not believe." To not believe what? The record of Moses and the prophets. What was that record? That God would provide a Savior. Amen. And that Savior being the Lord Jesus, whom most of the people rejected. Even to this day, I think it's larger, much larger numbers that reject Him than who believes Him. Now, I still believe there's been thousands and thousands, if not millions of people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I got thinking about that this week. You know, heaven's not going to be crowded. It's so big, there ain't no way. And we're all going to be there, and we're going to be able to enjoy the orchestra of heaven, the singing in heaven. We're going to enjoy each other in heaven. You will get to know me in a perfect way, because you'll be perfect there. I'm perfect already here. Y'all knew that, right? Anyhow, I'm not a Wolverine fan, so that's the number one requirement. We get to heaven, backs won't hurt, necks won't hurt, eyes won't be dim, no more headaches. Isn't that a blessing? No more bills. Won't have to worry about groceries. Gas jumping up and down. Them sorry rascals. You know, the price of a barrel of fuel right now is in the 90s, and yet they still raise it up. When Biden was president, it got up to $5 because it was $135 a barrel. Yeah, it's still less than $135. Them sorry, stinking rascals won't have to worry about the corrupt wickedness of men and women. Now, I will have to say that you and I need to understand that we are in that guard. We are in that group also, because we're just as wicked. We're just as sinful. Had somebody ask me this week, we were talking about something, and I mentioned something, and I said, well, I guess it just depends on your drug of choice. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, your drug of choice is sugar. My drug of choice at times is sugar. Well, sugar's not a drug. I said, yes, it's 27 times more addicted than heroin is. No way. Yep. We always think that we're, well, I'm better, you know, I'm better than Don Moss. I'm better than Margie. I'm better than Rachel. But that ain't the standard to go by. Are you better than God? Absolutely not. So when I begin to think this morning of some doctrines, the wrath of God is real. Would you keep your place in Luke 16? Come over to John 3 with me. John chapter 3, verse 17. The wrath of God is real. God's condemnation on sin and the sinner is 1,000% real. Look at John chapter 3 and verse number 17. John chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, for God has sent His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Did you notice that? Now, many would say, see, God didn't condemn the world. That's not what you're reading there, friend. You are already condemned. It had done Him no good. And I've said this many times. I want you to get this. It would have done the Lord Jesus, it would have done no good to double condemn us. We are already condemned to hell, and the reality of a place of torment, as this rich man speaks of, this flame of this place of an eternal flame. But the Lord Jesus, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And Zephaniah, we talked about who is God this morning, and the fact that the wrath of Zephaniah is not here yet, but it's coming. Thank God for His compassion. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Thank God that it was His love that sent the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His great love for His Son, and His great love for the sinner. He knew He had already condemned the world. Look at verse 36. Verse 36. He that believeth on His Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on Him. Now, in my Bible here, and maybe in your Bible now, I don't have the red letter edition, but if you've got the red letter edition, all this is in red letters. Now, if you really wanted the red letter of the Bible, you'd have to do every word red letter, because all of it's from God. But you think about this a moment. The Lord Jesus said, but the wrath of God abideth on Him. Anybody recognize that word abideth? It's on Him. Like white on rice, it's all over Him. Like ugly is, and I won't go there. Like handsome is on me. All right, y'all don't get it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Praise King Jesus. I got eternal life. I got everlasting life. I don't have temporary life. I don't have maybe hope so life. I got the real thing. Everlasting, eternal. Got to praise Him for that and glorify Him. But the fact is, the wrath of God is real, and it abideth on the non-believer, on the unbeliever. Well, that's a fact. That's a truth of heaven. That's why I'm thankful that for His love He sent His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a doctrine that we see all throughout the Scriptures. And we see it in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. There either is life or you're in torment in hell. There is no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no this. There's no limbo. You're not out there as a floating spirit somewhere. And by the way, you're not in the grave sleeping neither. If you notice that, Lazarus ain't sleeping and the rich man ain't sleeping. There's no such thing as soul sleep. And if you believe that, you need to get in your Bible and let God correct you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Grandpa Bill's in heaven's glory. Have no doubt about Grandma Nellie being there. Boy, I'm so thankful. Sister Rachel, we get to see our dads again. Boy, that'll be a blessing. Dad won't want to argue about everything. Dad won't look at me and say, "Are you really think that's that important?" Yeah, Dad, it's that important. Oh, beloved, the wrath of God is real. You got your place at Luke 16? Come with me to Revelation 20. The wrath of God is real, and it is seen in Luke 16. The wrath of God is real. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 11. We got to back up to verse 10. That's probably one of my favorite verses of the Bible. Revelation 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Hallelujah. I used to think this stupid thought. Lord Jesus, I'd love to help you throw him in there right now. Lord Jesus says, David, you ain't big enough in the britches, son. You can't do it. Cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Now they're going to be out and they're going to be doing their thing, but there sooner or later they're going to get thrown in the lake of fire too. And shall be tormented day and night forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The devil is going to be tormented day and night forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for getting rid of that sorry, lying, deceitful minister of light. You know he is. He's a deceiver. There's so many people that are being deceived by him right now. Should I get on that or not? Should I shake that bush or leave that tree alone? My word, how sad our nation is when men like John Fetterman from Pennsylvania is actually making sense. It just doesn't make, oh my goodness, are we just ICE agents upholding the laws that haven't been made in the last 10 years, that were made 50 and 100 years ago. They're sanctuary cities, and they're wanting to say that they want illegals to vote in them. If I lived in that county, there'd be some real tough trust. I'd got a cussing probably. I know me too well. The things that are going on, the fraud that we're seeing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the... By the way, all those... I got to read on because this is going to get good. By the way, I don't want anybody to go to hell. And God never created hell for you and I. It was made for the devil and his angels. But man gets caught up in the deception of the minister of light who comes along and says, "You don't need Jesus. Jesus was just a good man." To the Islamist, he was a good prophet. But we're going to kill his followers. That's real, beloved, whether you like it or not. That's right. The Muslim in Dearborn, less than 90 miles away, wants to kill Christians, whether you like it or not. The ones here in Michigan, the ones right here in Lansing, they will. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit of God holding back corruption, I'm telling you, God's people would be dead.
God's merciful to the lost man so that you and I can stand and give them the gospel, live the gospel, show them the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. That's a long-suffering, merciful, gracious God that He is. Thank you, Lord, for that. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne on. By the way, beloved, this is all after the tribulation, thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus. There comes a period of time when the Satan is going to get the armies together, and they're going to go up against gods and people, and so this is at the very end before the new heaven and the new earth. So just understand the timeline here. When? It's in the future. That's all I know. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, let me give you something to think about. Why is your name, according to Scripture, written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it because of your works? Here's the difference. Now watch. The plural. Their works. Can I show you the singular? Why my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And you know the Lord Jesus, as you save, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's because of the Lord Jesus' work.
That's right. That's right.
You're either saved by your own works or you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ's work. I'd rather be saved by His work than my works. Not even on your good day or my good day do we ever merit, earn, or have some way to get to heaven. Otherwise, according to the Romans chapter 4 passage, we'd have whereas to boast. Yeah, God, I got to heaven. I didn't need You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your finished work. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I wrote down a little note here. Still lost. On earth they're lost. When they die they're lost. The rich man was lost in his apparel. He was lost in his abundance of food. He was lost in his palace to live in. He was lost in his fresh bed and fresh sheets. He was lost and he was lost and he was lost. When he died, he was lost. And in hell and in torment, he lifted up his eyes in torment, he's lost. And there's coming a day when all that is thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever, and they're still lost. If you're still lost and you're watching or here in the room, understand that hell will be your home immediately after you close your eyes for the last time. But it doesn't have to be that way. Do you see all the doctrine in Luke 16? Whether it be the world system, you can't serve two masters. Talked about the adultery of putting away and whatnot in the area of divorce and how that. You know, beloved, the more I study the Bible, the more I understand. I hate divorce, and God hates it, but it's there. Man, all that's there is just. In my day, at 56, 57 this year, all the divorce that we have to deal with. And if you've been divorced, God help you. You went through some real hell. And I've seen it in my own world, in my own life, between my mom and dad. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But you know what? There's something greater and far worse than the world system and divorce and trying to serve two masters. And that's still being lost and dying and going into an eternal flame. The world will say, no, it's not. The Presbyterian will say, no, it's not. The Catholic will say, no, it's not. The Mormon, now you know the Mormon says there's three heavens, and even then you might go to hell, maybe. Now, I might be able to go to the third heaven because I have preached in Jesus' name. But I'll never make it to the first heaven because I won't be let in by Joseph Smith and that other rascal that had some 54 wives and what was his name? He was mean, by the way. And they killed Christians. The Mormons killed Christians trying to cross their land to get to California. Hell is real. Would you come with me to Exodus 22? The wrath of God is real. You know, I have to chuckle a minute, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. But I'm not chuckling at the wrath of God. But in that passage, when I was reading it, I put a note there that I didn't realize I put there. And Exodus 22, let's look at verse 16. To mark that passage was instructions on how to heat up a pasty. This one woman that talks a lot brought me some pasties. I would never name any names. Look at chapter 22 and you'll understand where I'm coming from here. Verse 16. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife, and a father utterly. Now, David, you have the right passage. You better have the right passage. Oh, here it is. And if her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of the virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He said, sacrifice unto any god save the Lord, only he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. As you look down through these, the law here stated in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, you'll find out there's a lot of death. The wrath of God is real. Come with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. This is the doctrine in Luke 16. You'll either believe it or you won't. You'll dismiss it or you'll receive it. You'll study it. Look at Numbers 11, verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. The wrath of God. Come with me, 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28. Now, this is the Word of God teaching us the truth of His wrath and condemnation. But don't forget that through the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Him is life eternal. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Listen, listen, beloved, there's no condemnation that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You and I that believe on Him, beloved, you and I that follow Him, you and I that know He's the Savior. Look at 1 Samuel 28 and verse number 18 with me. Because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord, nor executeth His fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Here in this passage, this is Saul not destroying Amalek like he was told to. So what was it? Because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord. The Lord Jesus says, believe on me and you'll have eternal life. Well, if you reject that, disobey that, friend. Oh, no, now you're adding works to it. No, no, no. Adding works to it is what gets you condemned and under the wrath of God. Beloved, it is the work of the Lord Jesus and believing in Him. I saw something the other day that blessed my heart. It was a church service. They were baptizing, and the first one, the pastor baptized, he had him in the water there, and he looked at him, called him by name. I don't remember their name. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior? And the gentleman looked at the pastor and said, sir, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And He saved my soul. He said, because of that testimony, I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it blessed my heart. It was a little Bible church that I know about. And of course, today you go on there and you might see a video where they'll say, do you believe Jesus is the Savior? Yeah, He's the Savior. Now, do you believe this water will wash away your sin? Oh, yeah, I believe that. Well, with this baptism, I wash away your sin. Now, that is heresy. And that individual went down as a dry sinner bound for hell and came up as a wet sinner bound for hell. One preacher used to always say that makes him a twofold child of hell. It can't happen because you already a onefold, and believe me, that's all you need to be. But beloved, there's a lot of people, and you and I, the condemnation and wrath of God is real. Psalm 38:1. If you give me a few more minutes, I'll finish up here, but there's a lot of doctrine in Luke 16. That's why they want to get rid of the Bible. That's why they want to get rid of these stories and say that they're not real. So that they seem to think they can get rid of the wrath of God. Look at Psalm 38 and verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. David even mentions in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't need to be resaved. He was repenting there. Lord God, I am miserable in my flesh. And believe me, friends, you're miserable in the wrath of God. That's why the devil is deceiving so much. He doesn't want to be the only one in lake of fire. You do realize that. He's trying to take as many with him as he possibly can. How does he do it? Deceiving them. Deceiving them through preachers. Look at Psalm 78:31. Man, what a passage. If you've not studied Psalm 78, you need to. Christian, it'll show you what God will do for His children when they don't obey Him. But look at verse number 31 of Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 31. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. The wrath of God is real. As you make your way back to Luke chapter 16, I know you've seen that before, and I'm probably preaching to the choir here. But Christian, we need to be reminded of that. As you make your way back to Luke 16, in verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Just a few notes and I'm done. He is real. Torment is real. No, Brother Ray, it's not when the Wolverines lose. That's not torment. My Cubbies are on a real tear here lately. One of the best records in baseball after not looking so good. They've reeled off 12, 13 wins out of 13, 14 games. It's just been awesome. I am so thankful that a Cubs win is not what I need for salvation. Because we all know their history. I'm thankful that my life is not determined by anyone else on this earth, but I have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Judgment is real. I'll tell you what, this is where I speak when I speak to young men. I speak to young men and tell them, look, you better worship God. You better submit yourself to God Almighty. God don't play. When we went into jails and prisons, if it was a place that I went to for the first time, I have a message out of Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. And the title of the message, God Don't Play. Say, well, that English isn't the best. I guarantee you, you talk to somebody out on the street, they'll understand that. God don't play. Ananias and Sapphira, right there, died in front of the believers. Ananias, as you know, lied and lied and lied and fell down dead. Sapphira comes in, and she lies the same. Peter said, the very ones that just carried your husband out are here to carry you out. And she died. They were believers. Wait a minute. I thought condemnation and wrath wasn't on us. Condemnation isn't, and the wrath of God's not on you, but that doesn't mean there's still not consequences to sin. There's consequences. Young men, learn to serve God, and young ladies, learn to love Him. Learn to follow Him. Give Him your heart. Let Him have all of you. There's doctrine here in Luke 16 that most people want to just throw away. Look at all that's here. And I think sometimes we just read through it and we get those little, yeah, hell's real and death is real. But what we don't get is, listen, beloved, God hates sin. Christian, He hates your sin. Some other doctrines, and I'm almost done, I promise. Afterlife or existence after death is real. There is no such thing as total annihilation. Seventh-day Adventists. Lord, please forgive me. There are many cults that believe, and even many of Jehovah's Witnesses these days, believe that once you die, your body goes to the grave and there's nothing. Do y'all understand that? There's no heaven and there's no hell. Total annihilation. God didn't make man for him to be temporary. God created us to worship Him eternally. Internally and eternally, for that matter. Beloved, you'll either spend time in heaven forever, or you'll spend time in hell forever. You will either spend eternity in heaven, you'll eternity with the Lord Jesus face to face, or you'll live eternally in torment in the lake of fire and in hell. You know what else I learned doctrinally here? Abraham is real. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham's real. Hey, David believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Charis believed God, and it was counted unto her for righteousness. What do we believe? Jesus Christ is the Savior. Amen. He died and arose again for me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Kyle believed. Rachel believed. Amen. Jamie believed. Margie believed. Hallelujah. Don, you believing? I know you are. Mona believed. Kevin believed. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Scott believed, and it was counted unto righteousness. Amen. Catherine believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? Amen. And it was counted for righteousness. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, Bency believed. May, was it the 8th? 2008. Right here. Oh, Brother Mikey was here. I miss Mikey. Stayed here and preached. And Bency was sitting right over there with Shirley. Got up and walked. That morning she asked him to save him. I believe on you. I save me, Lord Jesus. She's not been the same ever since.
Amen. Praise God for that.
Hallelujah. Y'all remember the day the Lord saved you? I sure do. Abraham's real. Abraham's bosom and paradise are real. This place, so when the Old Testament believer died believing on the promise of the coming Messiah, there was a place, they couldn't go to heaven yet. They couldn't go into God's presence yet because the blood had not been applied to the mercy seat of heaven. So they were kept in a paradise. The Lord Jesus said, even told the thief on the right, on his right, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That Old Testament saint then was there, and the Lord Jesus, in the time that his body's in the grave, he's down there preaching to them. And then the Bible says he arose again, and he told Mary, he said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended. Now here's what it looks like, and I believe it with my heart. Then when the Lord Jesus had seen that, he had gone back to paradise. He said, hey y'all, come with me, I got the blood. And he went to heaven's glory. And he applied his blood to the mercy seat of heaven. So not only them Old Testament saints that believed, but now the New Testament saints that are believing and have believed and will believe in the future, now they have a home in heaven. The Bible says he held captivity captive. Abraham, get them all together. Adam, Eve, come on. Noah. Come on, man, let's go. Moses, come on. Hey, David. Yes, sir, Lord. Come on. Jeremiah, come on. And the list goes on and on and on and on. It's real. Now, I know paradise is in the UP. And I understand that hell is in the South. My Bible tells me it's the sides of the North, the city of the great King. His heavens, he's bigger than his head. The earth is his footstool and the heavens are his throne. It's real, beloved. Heaven is real. One last thing. Did y'all notice this? And I'm done. I promise. This is just good. I hope y'all are okay with this. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The writings of Moses. Why is that there? It's one of the proof verses for our need of the Old Testament. So I'm going to give you some cemetery words. It's the canonicity of the Old Testament. The word canon there means the absolute need or the pureness of the Old Testament with the New Testament. Canon and cemetery jargon means that it's supposed to be there. Well, is there a better word for that? Yeah. You ready? We need the Old Testament as much as we need the New Testament. And we need the New Testament as much as we need the Old Testament. Canonicity shows proof that we need Moses' books, King David's Psalms, Isaiah and Jeremiah's writings. That's why he mentions it. He says, look, they've got Moses and the prophets. They're not going to believe them. They're not going to believe somebody that rose again. And I said it in the beginning, I want to say it here at the end. The Lord Jesus rose again, and there's a whole bunch of people that don't believe it. though one arise from the grave. Amen. Beloved, do you see the doctrine of Luke 16? This is why it's important to understand that this is a certain rich man. This is Lazarus. This is Abraham. This passage is not a fictitious story. This passage is real. Now, beloved, with all that we've said today, the importance of this passage is that we might see the mercy and grace of God along with the condemnation of wrath of God on sin and the sinner that doesn't believe. Father, thank you for giving us the truth. I pray this has been a help this morning to us, an encouragement, but also, Lord, a heavy burden given to us that we might be the witnesses that we are to be. Thank you, Lord, for your precious, pure Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. If the Lord Jesus is working in your heart, if the Holy Spirit's convicting, if the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, would you come on to this old-fashioned altar? If there's someone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. This morning, this afternoon, this noontime, God's dealing with your heart. Would you come on? This altar, this old mourner's bench. God's dealing with your heart. I hope and pray you've seen the doctrine. It's real. No one comes with an invitation. God's dealing with your heart. You come on. Lord's dealing with your heart. You come on, Christian. Amen. Let's pray and we'll go eat some dinner. Father, thank you for your precious book, the truth of it, the reality of it. Thank you for the blessings of the word. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you for the direction that your Bible gives us. I pray we would never refuse or reject any of it, but to know that it's all needed from Genesis to Revelation. Thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for being our Savior so that we aren't going to be in those torment of hell. We'll be in the blessings of heaven. Thank you for the fact that you are real and being with you forever and ever and ever is my future. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to be in your word without fear of being killed or shot. Thank you for that, Lord. Pray all this in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.